Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
So here we are. Blue Shirt Underground Radio. It is Wednesday, April 25th. It is Game 7 Eve. Visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. And tomorrow night, the masses will congregate on Madison Square Garden to cheer on the Rangers as they look to defeat the Ottawa Senators. I am thankful to be rejoined by my partner back from the dentist chair. Eddie, how are you?
Tales from the dentist chair, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I am back, and I am two wisdom teeth less than the last time I joined you.
But no less wise.
You're right. I didn't lose the wisdom, just the teeth. Will we make it into May? Yes, we will. Yes, we can, and yes, we shall. New York Rangers face the games. 7 o'clock start tomorrow at the Garden.
As I said at the Facebook group, Rangers in 7 at 7.
Right. Symmetry. Yes, it's all about the sevens. I was born, not born, I was married on 777, just for that. So it's all working numerologically. My tongue is still a little bit numb from the Novocaine. A day later, that's weird. No, I'm only kidding. I listened to you last night's show. It was fun of jubilation, the frivolity. Frankie telling me he told me so about Michael Delzato and his proficiency to hit. And indeed, he did deliver a monstrous hit on Chris Neal. And I've got some thoughts about that, if I may. When you feel free to let me loose to my first foray.
You've missed the night, so this is I talked enough last night, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, you can stand it. Well, I think Ranger fans, you know, as much as you want to hate Chris Neal and what he does, if we flash back to a year or so, we had a man named Sean Avery on this team last 2 or 3 years. 4 years, maybe even, who kind of did the same thing and was the same kind of agitator, instigator. So we're kind of getting a glimpse of what these other teams felt when a guy would threaten or, you know, we all laughed when, you know, Avery said he was going to, you know, kick somebody's butt on the next shift and, you know, Rupp was challenging people on 24/7. Now, I'm not making excuses. Chris Neal, a dirty player. Sean Avery was a dirty player. He was more of a pest. And I really can't say Neal is all that dirty. I don't know. He's just, he's an aggressive. He looks like he's on steroids. I don't know. This guy needs some anger management classes or something. I don't know what's going on with him. But I just think that we should all remember, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But I don't think he should have any complaints about the Delzato hit. I didn't think the Delzato hit was dirty at all. The goal that went in, after seeing several replays, I can see why they called it. Initially, you know, it didn't look like it hit anybody's skate, but the goalie interference was there, in which Neil, again, was part and parcel to. Again, this is something like we've seen Sean Avery pull. So it's a little hard for me to, you know, play, you know, to pontificate when we've kind of benefited for this type of play in the past. But again, we're in the middle of a war. We're in the middle of the heat of the battle, so no sympathy. We're taking no prisoners.
Can I just respond to your Chris Neal statement?
Go ahead.
Fuck him. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. As far as Henrik Lundqvist's statements after the game, I'm glad that he hasn't been fined. He's right. I don't know why, what reason, and you guys, you certainly last night, the other night, pointed out a great reason for why the Rangers, the NBC should want the Rangers in the playoffs for ratings and the whole thing like that. To me, you know, I've talked about it before, with impact refereeing. It's when refereeing impacts the game and decides the game. In any sport, it's a diagnosis for catastrophe. And in these NHL playoffs, and especially in this series, it's been a joke. It's been an absolute disgrace. You guys are talking about some options. I have some very, really, really out there options. And I'm going to talk nonsense because basically the Viking is still here and it's still active. I'm about to take all these referees off the ice and put them in chairs like in tennis because these guys can't see a thing on the ice. They cannot see anything. They miss everything. There's four of them. You can add them. You can subtract them. It's all the same crap. You can all give them equal power or give them none. They can't see a thing. Do I think they're all crooked? No. I think they just make it up as they go along. They're doing the best they can, which is bad. So that's my take on that. Lundqvist was right. I've never seen Lundqvist that emotional after a game ever. When he said, you suck to the crowd, or whether it was towards the review, where they had the review over there, I don't know what it was. I think it was to the crowd. I think you had mentioned that. Beautiful. Screw you, Ottawa fans. It's the last time you're going to see a game there this year. Go home. Do what you do in Ottawa. I guess shovel snow, whatever you people do over there. And enough with that. Just to conclude our stops from the last show I joined you with, again, stop with Dan Girardi on the power play. I don't understand. It's right. You got Ryan McDonough. You've got Stahl, Matt Stahl, as we call him. You've got Strawman. You've got plenty of guys to play the defense, the defensive power play. Also, please put Carl Hagelin on the power play. What does this kid have to do? Is he third in team in goals? Fourth in team in the goals? I think it's time for Carl Hagelin. We saw the difference that he made in that game. Carl Hagelin, by far, was the injection, as well as the Chris Kreider goal, which we'll get to soon, Mandar, was really the impetus for the Rangers to really have a better offensive showing than they had in the previous game. And I'm also going to throw something else wacky here. I'm just letting it all spill out again. Is that Brian Boyle's absence, to me, was a benefit for the Rangers in a way. Now, I know Brian Boyle's been playing great defense, and he's gotten 3 goals in this series. But it seems to me he plays an awful lot. And sometimes, listen, he's earned it with his, you know, he comes to play every shift. But I think it hampers the offense a lot. I know he's got 3 goals, but it's like, to me, the best you can do when Boyle is playing against another guy, a matchup, is a tie. You're never going to win that matchup. It's very few times he's going to win. I thought that Stepan had a very good game. I think he benefited from more playing time. And in the stat where you think that the Rangers would really suffer because Boyle takes the majority of faceoffs, yeah, they lost faceoffs, but you know, it was 37-27, so it wasn't horrible. And I think you saw Derek Stepan. Now he reunited with Kreider from the World Juniors. There's some chemistry there. And now Hagelin reunited with Gaborik and Richards. I agree with your summation. You said that the Rangers are on the right track. They're back on track. And that's how I feel right now. So I'm very positive for Game 7.
I agree. I think they've found their game. I think they finally kicked it up a notch. And I think it showed the other night. And I said last night on the show, but in case you didn't hear it, before the game, I was excited for that Stepan and Callahan and Kreider line, and they came up with some points, and Kreider wound up with the game winning goal. Now, you want to hear? Did you have anything else on Game 6, or you want to hear some Game 7, some good omens here for Game 7?
Let me see. I think I'm pretty much done with Game 6. The only thing I want to mention, look at the shots on goal. The Rangers had 41 shots or so in Game 5. Came up with no goals. They only had 22 shots, which doesn't seem like a lot. Well, it isn't a lot. But they came up with more goals in Game 6.
They were better shots. They were working the net.
Right.
You know, I mean, they were, if I'm not mistaken, on Stepan, Kreider's goal, both Stepan and Kreider were right in front of the net. And, you know, Stepan's shot just went from, his pass went from one side of the net to the other. They did a much better job of making life difficult for Craig Anderson. Not as difficult as Ottawa tries to make it for Henrik Lundqvist, because every shot that Henrik Lundqvist stops, he's got two Ottawa Senators bumping into him. But that's another story. All right. You ready for this?
Yep.
Oh, you got something coming in from the news desk there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, my wife is, for some reason, talking very loud.
Oh, okay. Ruslan Fedotenko is 4-0 lifetime in Game 7s.
Oh, I like that.
I think Brad Richards might be 4-0 lifetime in Game 7s. If I understand this correctly, Mike Rupp has a winning goal in Game 7 of the 2003 Stanley Cup Finals with the Devils. Rangers are 3-0 at home in Game 7s.
Wow.
Senators are 0-4 lifetime in Game 7s. So, some positive vibes. Positive vibes. I am very confident they are going to win tomorrow night. Not overconfident, very confident. I can't see them losing. I just can't. I think they found their game. I think the crowd is going to be going, as you would say, berserkowitz. And I want to hear that place rocking tomorrow night. When Amarante's up there singing, I don't want to be even able to hear him.
Well, I'm not going to count on the crowd. I am counting the crowd, but I think the Game 7, it really isn't going to matter. The better team is going to win. The better team is the New York Rangers. It's what I thought coming into the Game 6. when I was conflicted, I said, you know, my heart feels like they're going to disappoint us, because although I've been trying to shake that the whole year and try to change that mentality, I always thought that they have the better team. They still have the better team. You know, it's just a matter of executing. I think over the last three games, the Rangers haven't spent as much time in their own end as in the first three games. Ottawa was pretty much in our end for the whole game. Gradually, the Rangers, the last two games, well, I can't say last two games, the last two out of three games, the Rangers' third period, like Rangers put like a third period last night with the lead 2 nights ago, with the lead, typically the way they've been playing all year. So I was kind of confident before that goal went in, which to me was, I mean, it just looked a total bastardization of hockey when it happened. But you knew they had some view that was going to, you know, because it was just too outrageous. So I think they've kind of, you know, corrected the course here a bit. So we'll see. You know, the Rangers haven't been, well, the Rangers have won how many games at home in this series? One?
Yes.
Okay, and Ottawa has won how many at the Garden? Two, right? Yeah.
Two. The home teams in the first round are like 16-28 or something. I read that yesterday. I think it's, I don't even remember the number. 16-28, 18-26, something like that. I don't care. They're winning tomorrow night.
I mean, I look at it again. You got Henrik Lundqvist. This guy's just not going to give up any goals. He's just, I mean, this is the way he is, you know. He's the best goalie, and we got to throw our congratulations out to him. He's a nominee for the Vezina Trophy, and let's hope he wins it. I know we even, you know, the great Jonathan Quick is out there looming, but I think for the amount of pressure that he faces, and I'm not just saying this because he's a Ranger fan. I'm a Ranger fan because I watch the games. I mean, the guy is under a barrage every night. It's not like he's, you know, facing 15 shots of no consequence. He's facing, you know, 25 to 30 of, like, you know, high-quality chances a lot of times. But I just think we have the better player and the better player is a better team. And I think Ottawa still takes way too many penalties. They take stupid penalties.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they had seven power plays, the Rangers. They only got two goals, but two goals is enough. That's what they got to do, just score on the power play when you're afforded the opportunity.
The way that power play has looked most of the year, I'll take 2 for 7 all day long.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you if you go back and look over the season, and granted, it probably didn't happen very many times, but I bet you they didn't lose many games where they scored two power play goals. Although not many teams probably do, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Anytime the Rangers get two goals, it's tough for them to lose. But when they get two power play goals, you know, and even there was a point in that game where I was wondering how long we're going to go without scoring. I mean, is this going to be another one of these things? So I'm pretty confident, you know, still be nervous. I think all of us will be nervous, but we'll shake that off once the game starts. And I think we got a good mix of veterans and young guys. And, you know, during the year, there's been certain lines that have picked it up, and hopefully that's the Bond line and Kreider can flourish a little bit more. And so I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to go. What was the feeling of the people on the interwebs today? I know you're out there on Twitter and all that stuff.
The most people are upset that you got waiting 2 days for the game. Everybody thinks it's too long. Me, I'm okay with it. I'm always okay with them getting extra rest. Always. Because, you know, the way they punish themselves in a game, you know, with the 20 and 30 block shots and all the hits. I never think it's a bad thing when they can get, when any time they can grab 2 days off, they should, you know, I think it's a good thing. Now, I saw today that the second round, or at least I know the Coyotes are starting on Sunday, so I don't know if that's the first day of the second round or if Saturday's the first day of the second round. So it'll be interesting to see how much time they get off in between rounds. But yeah, people on the, I think everybody's pretty positive. Everybody's ready to go. Everybody thinks they're going to do it. Let's get it on.
Yeah, it's time to put William. What?
Except for Frankie.
Yeah. Well, and so it's going to be good now.
And yes, they're talking about it in the chat room, and they've tried to get this going on Twitter. I think tomorrow night at the game, at the 11:05 marks, you chant 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Neil sucks. I don't want to hear any pot band sucks tomorrow night. Tomorrow night should be Neil sucks, Anderson sucks, scrubbing bubbles sucks, whatever you want. I don't want to hear anything about Dennis Potvin tomorrow night. It's not about him tomorrow night.
Well, he was an Ottawa announcer at one point.
Okay. I want to hear, I don't want to hear 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Season's over.
I'm psyched. What about this Kreider kid? Some said it couldn't be done.
No.
Eddie, Frankie called in last night and said, I'm still not sold on Kreider.
It's three games.
I know. Three games, he's got to go. He's not sold on him. Forget it. We're going to bought it.
Boy, he's very patient.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
I mean, this... not sold on him. If he didn't score at all in the series, I wouldn't be sold on him. If he scored in every game, I wouldn't be sold on him.
I think I went back and listened to it. I think he said something like Kreider doesn't have much size, and I think I kind of missed exactly how he said it, because I would have said to him, he's 6'3", 215 pounds. How big you want him?
I know. I love Frankie, but he's got to stop with the prospects. We're in a game set situation. This man was in the Marines. Wasn't Frankie in the Marines?
What, Army or Marines? I forget. One of the
Army, wherever he was, he knows what it is. He was in Korea. I need you to be in the trenches, because we want to see, after the Game 7 victory, Sergeant Blue Shirt Brackett come out again and address the troops. We don't have to retire them until next year. So, Frankie, you better hone, as we say around these parts. You better be honing on that range game, not about whether Andrew Yogan is scoring.
Exactly.
I don't know. I feel like Ottawa's just let them get involved with the nonsense. You know, for some reason they have issues with Callahan. What is Callahan doing out there that they want to kill him? Other than frustrating them
Well, that might just tournament. That might just be Captain Retribution, don't you think?
Could be. Yeah, he is wearing the C.
I think that's what that's all about.
This got to me today. You know, I don't know if it was in our Facebook page or not. Somebody mentioned that we should start John Scott in Game 7.
Oh, I've seen a few people say that.
What is wrong with you? Do I have to distance myself from Ranger fans? Some Ranger fans. I don't want to see John Scott in a Game 7, a Game 1, a Game 2, a Game 3. Game 4. They're all saying, well, Mitchell's doing nothing, so might as well just start Scott. You know what? Mitchell's doing nothing is better than John Scott's doing something. All right? I know Mitchell's been sticking the joint up. Why he plays the power play, I have no idea. No idea. But that guy Scott's got no hockey talent whatsoever. You want to put a guy who hasn't scored a goal, who's only had one goal in his last 146 games. I know Mitchell's not playing well. At least Mitchell is in a super detriment out there, and he's a center iceman. Scott's not a center iceman. So please, stop with the John Scott. He's not even making a team next year. I guarantee you that. I can't. Andre DeVoe's got a better chance.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't get this fan base sometimes. I really don't.
Yeah, they know, nobody wanted to fight him. This is the same thing I heard with Joey Cosa. It's the same thing I heard. Then why do we have him if nobody wants to fight him? And then he got in that one fight with who did he fight? Is it Matt Carkner?
Was it Carkner or Kelly Clarkson? Maybe it was Carkner. I think you might be right.
Yeah. And he didn't look all that good anyway. He's just a big goof. Come on. Get out of here. Stop thinking with your emotions and think like a rational... I know John Mitchell's not playing well. Who knows? Maybe we'll see what John Tortorella sees in him, because I don't. I saw it in like the first 12 games he played, but after that, sorry. Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah, putting Bon Scott on the ice tomorrow night would just attract nonsense, and the Rangers just need to go out, play their game, avoid all the garbage, kick their ass back to Ottawa, and move on.
It's the best revenge.
Right.
You go home now. You go now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Your season's over. We're advancing.
Exactly.
So... All right.
Rangers will be at some club party and picking off broads left and right while Otto is still flying home on the flight of shame.
Wow. That real Frank Sinatra Las Vegas there.
Broads.
Broads and Peter Lawford.
Peter Lawford. He was the worst of them. I'd rather be Joey Bishop if I had to be.
Joey Bishop lived the longest.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, all right, 646-478-4692, the number. We have a full switchboard already, so if you guys want to get in, we've got about a half hour or so to go. I don't think we're gonna make it to...
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think we're going to make it an hour and a half.
We'll see.
All right, let's see. Who's holding the longest? We'll save Mandar for the end with his... Let's see. All right. 315, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. Is this Jim?
Yeah. Oh, is this Rob from the Banter?
Yes, it is. How's it going?
Good. How are you, man? Good to hear from you.
Pretty good. I know, right? You haven't heard from me for a while. How's it going?
Good, good. So, are you feeling confident heading into the game tomorrow night?
I am. I'm actually working on an article for the Banner right now.
Cool. Now, I know you've made road trips to Ottawa in the past. Did you go to any of the games?
No, I'm actually out of school now. I'm away from the Ottawa area. But, Chucky, that place is soft, real soft, compared to the Garden. I'll tell you that much.
Well, of course.
Not that I need to tell you guys, but it's real soft. So, but I've had plenty of buddies up there. They've been being real loud, and I'm not surprised we snuck away with a couple W's out of there. So,
yeah, no, but I'm not either. Rangers play well on the road.
They do. My point for calling is we should all be very, very, well, not very, very confident, but we should all be comfortable going in tomorrow, in my opinion.
I agree. No, I definitely agree. The confidence is up. I think they've found their game. They'll be ready to go.
And I mean, if any of you guys read the Banner out there, you guys know I'm a little bit on the numbers side. I'm not going to bring too much into it. But I'll tell you right now is that when the Rangers have been playing well, which they have in the past two games, a.k.a. out-shooting the opponent, they're coming out on top every time. So as long as they come out flying tomorrow night, I see no reason why I worry.
I agree. Eddie, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear. Usually there's like a little background noise when you're there, and I didn't hear it, so I was afraid I lost.
No, the background noise is John Newman asking me some question during the show. It's distracting me. John,
leave me alone. You're not busy or anything, are you?
I'm doing a show here.
Hey, Rob, 8K Kevin Powers in the chat room, and he said his comment was a little bit on the numbers side.
Hey, look! I'm sorry. I can't give him shit for that. He's completely right. But what I do say was, because you know, Kreider's a little bit of a hot topic. I think is that his name, Kreider? Never heard of him, right? Anyways, the point is, I've been very impressed not only because I do watch the games, but his numbers have been really good, and I'm very pumped for him next year when he gets into full time. I'm not going to go crazy and say it could be better than Stepan, but so far, so good. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right.
Well, he certainly brings more to the table with his shot and his speed than Stepan, who's been is probably going to wind up being a more of a playmaking type player who's got some really good leadership. That's the way I look at it. That's it, you know, down the line.
I think he can be an immediate help to the power play next year. I mean, that's a touchy subject again, but I really think he could be huge next year on the power play.
Yes. At this point, there's not much that wouldn't hurt the power play, but he certainly will be an added bonus. One less guy will have to go to the UFA market and look forward to getting. From what they tell me, I mean, Pruss was talking about Kreider the other night, and he's really impressed by his shot, which we got to see a little bit of. And because I've just been basically hearing a lot about his speed, not so much anything else. So we could definitely use another gunner on the power play.
Definitely.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to Christian Thomas in camp next year. Not to get away from this playoffs, but I think Christian Thomas, he did really well, and the juniors can really translate if it works out. So.
Christian Thomas was a favorite of mine in Traverse City and in camp. He certainly outperformed Haglund in camp, and then Haglund just busted out into the scene once he got to play with the big club. So yeah, he's a smaller dude, but it'll be interesting, how it's all going to kind of pan out with the Rangers, because you only can have a certain amount, at least the general consensus is. Certain amount of smaller players, and we'll see what happens with Zuccarello, and we'll see what happens with Christian Thomas, and even Ryan Bourque to a degree, although Ryan Bourque is more of a defensive guy, a more energy player.
Absolutely. I guess I'll leave you guys with this, though. I completely agree with John Scott. If we could somehow call the Blackhawks back and get half a pick for wherever the fuck we trade him, whatever we trade him for, is a complete joke. That's just me, though. So
yeah, I'm with you. All right, Rob. So. Listen, thanks for calling. It was good to hear from you.
Hey, absolutely, guys. Take it easy. Love the show. I'll keep listening.
Thanks,
Take
Rob.
Care,
Take
Rob.
Care.
Yeah.
All right, great. Rob Luker, part of the original staff at Blue Shirt Banner. All right.
Wow.
I think this is Catroni. Are you there?
I'm here.
What's going on?
What's up, Eddie? How are you, man?
Oh, I'm hopped up on Vicodin.
Nice. Dr. Catroni prescribes a bag of medical marijuana and a pack of Easy Waters for you tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, go pick it up at the Brooklyn Headshot. It's right there in right there on.
Simon says laugh.
Anyway. Jim, you stole a little bit of my thunder. You know how I love statistics, but yes, that is correct. The Rangers are 3-0 on home ice in Game 7s. They're, ironically, 3-5 in Game 7s overall.
We haven't fared too well
on the road. So.
We're not on the road.
I know. That's a beautiful thing. And Ottawa is overall is 0-4. And they're 0-3, obviously, on the road. But this is going to be the 60th best-of-7 series for the Rangers in their history. They are disappointing, 24-35 overall. But they are 8-6 in preliminary round series records, so not bad.
Joe, any idea what their record is since, like,
I don't know, since you've been following. When did you start following the Rangers? In the
I 70? Started following the first. My first Rangers game was around 75, 76.
That's about where I'm.
I was about seven when I went.
So I wonder what their record in game sevens is since, you know, basically we've been watching.
Well, you know, they haven't been to that. They haven't been in that many game sevens because of the fact that, I mean, there were gaps in there where they didn't make the playoffs, so they just didn't go very deep in series. And so, I mean, we were talking about it last night. The last time they've actually hosted a Game 7 was the Cup Final in 94.
Right.
The last time they were in a Game 7 was back in 08, 09 against the Capitals.
Joe, we have a question from the chat room for you. What's the Rangers' playoff record on Thursdays at 7 p.m. when facing a Canadian-based team while wearing the road blue uniforms?
They would be 22-7. Is that with or without the vodka in the pregame?
I think, now, you know, you guys are talking about stats and everything. Now, I don't have it in front of me, but they were talking about it on the radio broadcast of Game 6. That this playoffs is somehow mirroring the Tampa Bay run to the Cup. That, and if somebody could pull that up, that the wins and losses for their first round are exactly the way the Ranger Auto Series has gone. And Tampa, of course, won that in seven games, I think. So that may be another stat. And I think actually the final score was the same final as Game 6 was in this series. So they've been following that. At least that's what Dave Maloney and Kenny Albert have been following. So
interesting.
A lot of interesting stats. I mean, do you put much belief in stats, or do you figure it's any time you have humans matching up against other humans, it's
you know, I'm of the belief that, I mean, it's just, you know, statistics are fun to throw around. But that being said, I think they, you know, sometimes they have a lot of relevance. I mean, they, you know, they just by, I don't know, I'm not a huge believer in coincidence, but if you want to call it that, I mean, sometimes teams just play better in a game seven. I mean, you know, I mean, look at Montreal in 93 with all those overtimes. I mean, you got to see, right? I mean, what are the chances of a team going to that many overtimes in a whole playoff series, right? And then what are the chances of them losing only one, right? I mean, it's crazy. And in fact, that year, they lost, the only one they lost in overtime was the first one. And then I think they went on, what, a 10 in a row, which is crazy. And same with Boston last year. They won three game sevens going to the Cup. And
right,
you know, so statistically, you look at maybe before that, before, you know, that last season, maybe Boston was terrible in game sevens. So, you can throw them all out the door. They're fun to knock around. And, you know, I don't know how many game sevens we've been in per se. But, you know, I mean, it's nice being home. That's all I have to say. I'd much rather be at home than on the road. Not that they were a terrible road team this year, but if you had any choice, obviously you gotta take the home. So,
see
what happens.
Yep.
They got a fighting chance, so that's all. I'm excited. I can't wait. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun that they're playing a game that matters, and hope they advance. You know what, though? I was thinking to myself, and I surely want them to advance, but the odds that's going to come with the next round. This is the first round. We're getting worked up about Ottawa.
I've actually kind of been pretty calm. I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, just being older or anything. And, I mean, 93, 94, it was ridiculous. If they won, it would basically dictate my demeanor each day. I don't know. I can't speak for anybody
else.
Right, if they lost, I couldn't wait until they played again.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And if they won, you couldn't wait until they played again.
Exactly. So, and you know, I mean, we were spoiled in 94. I mean, the first two rounds, we lost one game. So, you know, we were rolling. And then
I was at that game. The one that lost.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
I tell you what, I was at game five of the 97 series against the Panthers, which was on the road.
That was the one where Tekin had scored. It got tipped and went in, and that was it. It was awesome. I don't think I'd ever been to a series clincher. Is anybody? Are you? Eddie, you're not calling the game, right?
No.
Yeah, I posted in the chat room earlier when I first jumped on it. There was a news article that came out today that Rangers tickets are like they're going up $500 or so.
Wow.
You know, in the $500-$600 range. Yeah.
Is that Ron Gresham selling those tickets? Oh, that would be $5,000.
All right, I'll drop off so other people can call.
All right, take
care,
Joe.
Take
go
care,
Blue.
Joe. Joe.
Yep.
Bye.
Well, there you go.
Joe is great, Joe Catruni.
The designer of the Blue Shirt Underground Radio logo.
That's right. This handsome logo.
That'll be a trivia question. Remember that, folks. I'll just, if we move on, and I have a trivia question for the Game 1 preview, the series preview. It could be that. Who designed the Blue Shirt Underground Radio logo? So.
All right. You want to talk to, we got, let's see who this is. Hold on before we go there. 303, you're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
Hey, gents. It's Vince.
Hey, Vince, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All how are you, Eddie?
Well,
good,
a little bit.
Good to finally get to meet you the other day.
Yes, I know. I got to meet the great Vince down at Cafe 31. I heard you posted a pic. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that you are outshining me in that pic. Because you are one glowing individual who is a top-notch Ranger fan. Unfortunately, you got to see the same crappy game I did that night.
Oh, God. Yeah, flying 2,000 miles and going to that game. That game blew me away. I mean, they 41 shots on goal, but they just didn't look good. They didn't look that they were in sync all night. I noticed that Ottawa was setting up better 5-on-5 in our zone than we were setting up in their zone on the power play. And, you know, I mean, the puck was just coming right out of the zone every time that we couldn't get any sustained pressure at all. But, you know, whatever. It was frustrating.
Well, Vince, let me ask you a question. I mean, you were there. I was there. Would you agree with me that after the first goal by Ottawa, the fans kind of got, like, punched in the gut and lost a lot of their spirit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was rocking. You know, when Emarante was singing, you know, it was so loud in there. And the first few minutes, it was really loud. And people were waving those towels or what have you that they gave out. But as soon as the first goal went in, the life went out of the building. And it was that way all night. I mean, it's...
And I think my advice to fans that are going in tomorrow night's game is you got to hang in there with them, and you got to be focused and not lose spirit because they can sense that. It's an intangible. I'm not saying it's going to make a difference in a game, but there's a reason, you know, you get the home advantage. They played well predominantly at home, good, played well during the season. And just, you know, it may be the last time you see them, so you might as well go all out with the positivity. Negativity is going to get you nowhere, and sometimes, you know, your ambivalence, too, when they get silent, it doesn't help either. So
yeah, I mean, my brother was pissing me off, too. He was he kind of joined the rest of majority of the fans and saying it's over, you know, right after they scored the first goal.
What?
I'm like, dude, there's a whole fucking game left. But, you know.
I'll never
right.
get that. He was right, but he probably was writing the Rangers season off too. I mean, you know, a lot of people. I took the train ride home, and everybody was like, "It's over. They can't score. We're going to Ottawa. No way we're going to win. You know, we haven't scored in this many periods." And you never know. I mean, it's tough to try to change the culture of thinking with Ranger fans. When they kind of...
Yeah, I try to remain positive. You know, I know this team, I mean, they were first seed for a reason. They won 50 games. I knew that they were going to come out in Ottawa play better, and they got back to, you know, doing what they do best, tight checking, good defense, and you know, kind of like that, I forget what Nicoletti calls it, the rope-a-dope kind of thing, you know, they bend but they don't break kind of thing, and they got back to that in game six, and you know, we got the W, and hopefully game seven will come up flying. And
how are you feeling for game seven? Where are you for game seven? Emotionally?
I'm confident, but I'm I'm a little nervous because no, definitely not cocky. I know the history of this team. I've been watching them for a long time, and I want to be cocky, but I can't allow myself to be because it's just it's nervous. It's a nervous excitement, I guess. It's do or die. But like you said earlier, we got Henrik Lundqvist, and they have Craig Anderson, who's been very good. But I don't think that, he's as good as what he's been shown. I've been waiting for him to get tired, and he hasn't. But whatever.
Well, he's certainly I think so.
What's that?
I mean, how could I'm both heart and mind are now together. I think they're ready to play. And if Ottawa gets down early, I think the Rangers will be able to handle, you know, a lead.
Yeah, I think they will. And, you know, I like Carl Hagelin, and I didn't really appreciate him as much as I did, now after game six. I mean, that guy, I mean, he opens up the ice with that speed, and the defensemen on Ottawa have to watch him, and he opens up the ice for Richards and Gavrik. It's good. It's good. I think, you know, it's a big, he made a big difference in that game the other night.
Well, I thank you for the call. I thank you for the beer that you bought me. My young.
What was the name of that beer again?
I think Vince thought I was hosing him when I said I wanted a Yingling. He didn't know that was a real beer.
Oh, really?
That's
good.
Yeah.
That's good beer.
Yeah.
Well, I had one. Yeah, it was. It actually was pretty good. So.
Yeah.
It's good anyway,
beer.
Guys, great show. Thanks for having me, and let's go Rangers tomorrow night.
Thanks, Vince.
All right, Vince. Take care.
Talk to you
Vince.
Soon.
Take care,
guys. Bye bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see. You ready for Mandar?
Yes.
Mandar, how are you, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, good evening.
On the night before a big game seven, what better place to discuss Ranger hockey? I don't know of one.
No way. There is. The answer is none. are you gonna do a mea culpa on this Chris Kreider thing? You
so
sat
wait.
Here.
All right, hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. I just want to know something.
I'm not asking. Let me just say something before you say something. I'm not saying it's on my behalf. Just that the Facebook page was rampant with Mandar better do a mea culpa talk today. So you address them, not me.
The unseen masses?
Well, most of the masses are in here in the chat room. Some of them are, at least.
Let me say this. I will give a partial mea culpa.
Uh-oh. This might be history, folks. I've never seen him even partially say he might be wrong.
Whereas, I thought he played real well in Game 6. It seems strange. It seems he's getting less ice time as he's playing better. But
yeah, his reward for playing so well in Game 2 was to be bumped down to the fourth line for Game 3.
I mean,
or was it Game 3 that he played so well that he got demoted? I don't know. Whatever his first game was, he was on the first line, and he played. Tortorella said he played great and then demoted him to the fourth line for the next game.
I think that he's been engaged more physically, so that's been fine. And I never thought he wasn't a skill player. My thought was coming out of college after all that was going on, that I didn't see the need to bring him into the situation now. Now, his results have made it so that it's been a good move, and I will that's the mea culpa. I will say that the results that he's brought has made it a good move. I won't backtrack on thinking that at the outset he probably, in my opinion, he shouldn't have had to play in this series. But that's and you know, if Hagelin doesn't get suspended, he probably doesn't get in there either. But so there's my partial mea culpa. The fact that they're going to put him in the lineup, if he's going to do, and he's done a fine job since he's been there, he hasn't looked out of place, at least in game six he didn't. He was engaged a lot more, didn't shy away from contact, actually, you know, went to the puck and went to the right areas where I thought in his first game that was really lacking. But that's fine. I thought he played real well.
Mario just said in the chat room, Mandar, just say you were wrong. You sound like Clinton saying you didn't get a blowjob.
Well, in defense of Mandar, can I believe I'm saying this? I think he was addressing people thinking that, maybe I'm wrong, but that Kreider was somehow going to be a superstar immediately and a game changer. But little did we know, he was a game changer in one game. Now, will he impact the whole playoffs like this? I think that's what you were trying to get at. But
And I hope he does have that impact. Obviously, we all do. But
Will you admit he's wrong if he wins the Conn Smythe Trophy?
Yeah, well, exactly. Then you get 100% mea culpa from me if he has if he gets the Conn Smythe. And Mess is just going in the chat room, and he's wrong. But one guy I will not back off of, and I'm going to have that one comment is good old number four made a nice little hit in game six. Nice to see his visibility come in since the end of February. Now it's time for him to go back to his cocoon again.
Well, he also was. I had to single him out too on the first goal by Ottawa. He was in no man's land. If you watch that goal, I was like, what is he? He's got nobody. Unfortunately, I couldn't say much because Frankie's other favorite player, Stahl, was also on the line. What's going on with that, guys? You guys, why is he mixing up the D pair so much, it seems to me?
Using five defensemen. He's using Bickle for like 5 minutes, so basically he's down to five defensemen. That's what he's done. I was amazed to see the ice time from game six, where Bickle, I think, got 5.5 minutes of ice time, and Strawman had like only about 12 or 13 minutes, I think.
Bickle only had 2 minutes of ice time.
Did only two? Yeah,
yep.
I mean, they had very, very little ice time, so that's why he's messing them all around. He's basically rotating five when he doesn't use Strawman all that much.
Yeah, he played the hell out of McDonough and Girardi. He also played Hagelin a lot. Hagelin had like 14 minutes, and he doesn't play the power play.
Yeah, and he plays shorthanded. You could see that he makes a difference on getting in on that forecheck. It's real nice to see. That, I think, has been the Rangers' problem more in the series. I mean, I keep hearing people talk about Ottawa's speed, and, okay, they have some speed, but it's not the speed that's been doing the Rangers in. They haven't kept the puck in the Ottawa zone. They haven't forechecked. That's not a speed issue. That's a non-forechecking issue. I don't know what the problem has been with that. Last game, all of a sudden, really, they got their forecheck going right in the middle of the second period, right after that rough penalty when Ottawa evened it up right there. I thought that was a real turning point. Because they something lit a fire under them, and they just went. And then they started with the forechecking, and they did a great job keeping the puck in the Ottawa zone, and Ottawa didn't have an answer for that.
Well, I think Ottawa, once you get that deep forecheck going, Ottawa's defensemen will make mistakes. They're not so solid back there. I mean, they're very vulnerable, and that's a key to the Rangers' success, the forecheck. Make them make mistakes.
Exactly. I have never seen a team pinch as often as Ottawa's defenseman does. Every single play that goes to the Rangers zone, The Ottawa defensemen are in deep. I mean, they don't have the speedsters out there on D. Gonchar is no speedster on D. A bunch of other guys aren't either, but yet they go in the zone, man. These guys keep the puck in constantly. And I guess it's also easier since the Rangers collapsed so far down low that they're kind of open at the points a lot. But, man, they always keep the puck in.
See, that's the problem. The problem lies in there is that the Rangers are so adamant about collapsing four guys around Lundqvist, including the two guys that are standing in front of Lundqvist. I don't know how he even sees the puck. I mean, you know, I wish they could correct that, but it's how they got here. But the key is, as you said, for Game 7 will be the forecheck and how much the Rangers keep the puck in their zone. Because I think Ottawa is a time bomb defensively.
Absolutely.
You know, Philip Kuba is not impressing me. Even, like you mentioned, Gonchar, Erik Karlsson is not a reliable defenseman back there.
He's got one point in the series also. For all the blowing that Hayward does of this guy, he's got one point, one goal. That's it.
Yeah.
So
is that the one that went filled out of the gate?
No doubt about it, he's dangerous. But he's not been the difference in this series. It's been Ottawa's mug. It's been freaking Konopka in the face-off circle that's really a major force for them.
He was a guy I kind of wanted the Rangers to get in the offseason last year. Not because he's a goon. Well, he is a goon, but he can. The Rangers are so bad on faceoffs, they could use a guy like him. You know?
Yeah,
so, what did you guys think about? I don't know if you guys talked about this last show. What was Wilfred Brimley thinking about benching Spezza in that game?
He benched Spezza and Alfredson for the first, like, 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And nobody seemed to know.
I mean, he didn't have him out there on a power play, I think. Or maybe he had him out on a power play after he had benched him. How are you benching your captain and you only hope for offense? I mean, I know coaches know how to push players' buttons, but that seems a little bit of a sabotage-y to me.
And considering your captain had been out, all of a sudden he comes back, there should be an emotional thing going on there, and I don't know. Maybe he thought he was ineffective. I don't believe he really even addressed that. And then Alfredson said yesterday he doesn't even remember why he was mad. So you know that there's something going on there.
All right. Well, the great Mandar has spoken.
You want to bring Howie in?
I gave a partial call, but let it be known.
Throughout the land. Yeah, bring Howie in and see what he thinks.
All right.
Oh,
hey,
Jim.
Howie.
Jim, can we get a shut-up cutter, Jim?
Oh, sure. Hey, you can get one of those anytime you want one.
Thank you.
I just got to find it. If it would work.
Shut up, cutter!
Thank you.
Shut up, cutter! Shut up!
How are you, Howie?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Good.
Sorry to hear about all your teeth problems there, Ed. I just got done having a crown put on yesterday, so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm still having flashbacks from yesterday. I'll talk about that more in the next show after we win. Apparently, Spezza blew an assignment on Kreider's goal. That's why he was benched. So that's what Joe D is telling me in the chat room. Now, Howie, how are you feeling? You're a veteran of these wars, the Ranger Wars. How are you feeling about Game 7?
I actually have a good feeling. I think that the fact that they were able to get back to their game, and I can point to a couple of turning points on Game 6. One, obviously, was the fight. Prust and Neil finally, somebody went after the piece of shit. And, of course, Delzato's hit was amazing. And, of course, the big save that Hank made off of Von Alfie.
Yeah.
I thought that was a real turning point because they seemed to pick up their game from that. And they really got fired up. And, yeah, were there a lot of bad calls? You bet. Both teams had a right to gripe. And it was brutal. I mean, I don't want to see Tim Peel 100 miles from an NHL arena anymore. He sucks. But, yeah, I'm pretty confident going in. I think, you know, some people have been posting to chat all night about the issue with the real fans not being in the building. And that's been a problem for years. But the real fans can't get their hands on the tickets because it's all the people are like, oh, I can get to go to a playoff game. I don't know shit about the sport, but I'm going to go anyway.
Right.
Now, they were rocking in game six. They'll be there for game seven.
And yeah. I miss going. I mean, that's the only thing I miss about my season tickets was having the playoff tickets was the best part of it. But I feel that they got a great shot to win. It's very hard for the road team in a game seven to win. And that's why the majority of the time the home team usually wins game sevens. I think, you know, they did get to Anderson, who was completely overrated. And, you know, they're all gushing all over him. But I think he's an average goaltender who's another typical product of the equipment. And he really hasn't made a super spectacular save. I mean, you look at someone like, I mean, you see Lundqvist making these spectacular saves and some of the other goalies in the other series, like Mike Smith, for example. He's been unbelievable. Anderson doesn't impress me. And all they have to do is just keep doing it and go into the net and get somebody in front, screen this guy. Bottom line.
Yeah, I think Anderson's been good when he's had to, but he really hasn't been asked to be good too often. You know, I just think not a lot of traffic. He's seen a lot of the shots. You know, he's just no Henrik Lundqvist, and that's how I feel going into Game 7. If I wanted any goalie to go into Game 7, I would want Henrik Lundqvist. This is totally impartial, and we got him, so we're going to win.
Boston going on the power play?
Yeah, apparently so. A bad call, though. Really bad call. You know, as Espo has said on his show on XM, the referees today have no feel for the game. You got late in the third period, you don't call anything. You let them kill each other in a game seven. You know, it should be a battle of attrition in this kind of game, not letting the officiating, which has been absolute shit, decide it. My other feeling is that, you know, all the crap with Shanahan and Bettman backing him up, and he's an idiot too. And I think, honestly, if there is a lockout, which, you know, there's still always a chance, it's time for that putz to go. He has done nothing to destroy our sport.
I don't know.
I mean,
looks like nobody else wants the job. That's the thing.
Yeah,
well, the owners don't want to get him out of there because he's making them a ton of money, and that's really the only way that anything would ever get done. So it's unfortunately going to be a lost cause.
I know. But here, you know, but at least if the officiating is probably officiating, come out and say something. Address the public. Say, you know what, I'm not happy about it. You know, we're going to address it. We got to do something. He says nothing. He sits in his damn office and says, and is silent, which to me is the sign of a bad leader. Somebody just posted Putzman.
Wow. How he's causing a mess over there. Well, get your Rangers seatbelt, strap them tight. We're going into game seven, Rangers Ottawa, warp factor 9, Mr. Sulu.
Hey, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's how I feel.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to all be back here on whatever night, celebrating.
Friday.
Friday. Mm-hmm.
If not, the funeral begins Friday.
You want to do 9 p.m. on Friday?
Or 9 p.m. on Friday.
All right, 9 p.m. All right. If they win, 2-hour show. If they lose, 15 minutes. All right, well, we thank you all for listening. Eddie, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Glad you're feeling better. Everybody, enjoy the game tomorrow night. Check us out on Facebook, Blue Shirt Underground Radio, www.blueshirtunderground.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BSU Radio Jim. You can follow Eddie at Ranger Crisis. You can follow Howie at Howie9416. Mandar is on Web TV and GeoCities. You can find him there. Mandar at prodigy.org. And we'll see you guys Friday night. Good night, everybody. Let's go, Rangers.